Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
We started a series last week that we're going to delve into this portion of Scripture, and we're going to camp here for a few weeks. Let me just say this. On Wednesday nights, each of the points that I'm going to talk about on Sunday morning are worthy of much more in depth. And we'll do that on Wednesday nights. This particular topic is not just dear to my heart, but on a pastoral level, I just believe it's absolutely necessary. And this portion of Scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse, 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, starting in the first verse. By the way, how many of you did read it this last week, like I asked? All right, you got some overachievers in here. Good for you guys. That's good. So you'll have a step up on everybody else. This is a perfect, I can't think of another portion of Scripture that gives you a perfect synopsis of the process of Christian growth and ways that you can, by seeing the process, you can look at yourself and go, ooh, okay, I can begin to focus in on some things. There's eight things that we're going to go through here that Peter, I guess, hallmarks or highlights. And it's pretty incredible. So let's just delve in. Then I'm going to finish a little bit early, and then I'm going to share just a little bit on water baptism, and then we're going to baptize some folks this morning. What a privilege. So listen, let's just haul off and start going. Verse 2 of chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now there's a qualifier. It's easy to look at the first half of this verse and just be so thankful that, man, God's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But there's a qualifier. It says through the knowledge. Verse 1, he talks about the knowledge of God. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now let's just set this stage first. The knowledge that's being talked about here in original language is not the same as data. It's not the same as just facts. It's not cutting a hole on the top of our head, lifting up our cranium, pouring a bunch of data and go, okay, you got it. It's not memorizing dates. It's not memorizing names. It's not just knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's not like just reading a book and go, oh, I found out about that. This is knowledge that is information, but that then gets put into practice. So in other words, somebody might be able to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, but how many of you know that's not the same as experiencing Jesus, the Son of God, as your Lord? Okay, it's not the same. You can know something. You could know the facts about Jesus' life. You could know the facts about Jesus' birth and all of that sort of stuff, but that's not the same as knowing Jesus. Okay? So this is what this is talking about. So we're not just talking about, you know, read the Bible, memorize it, get all the facts down, you're good to go. And then all things that pertain to life and godliness is yours. It's not that. There's a process that's involved. So let's keep going here. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now, that's good, right? Exceedingly great. Not just great, but exceedingly great and precious promises that through these, through what? Through these exceeding great and precious promises, how do they come? Through the knowledge of God, right? That we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, those three verses right there are power-packed verses. We're not going to break them down just huge because we just don't have time. But the idea that Peter is telling the body of Christ is this, that provision by God for all things that pertain to life and godliness. So that would be our time here on this earth, however long that may be, everything that we're going to need to navigate this thing called life successfully is available in God. Are you with me so far? This becomes actuated, this becomes realized, this becomes reality in our life through a process. In other words, it's not just the acknowledgement that God can, it's not the acknowledgement that, you know, all right, I've got great and precious promises. I'm partakers of his divine nature. All things that pertain to life and godliness are mine, bless God. It's more than that. It says it comes through the knowledge. In other words, we've got to begin to find out and then apply. Okay? Now let's go on here. It says this. But also for this very reason, or in other words, in light of the truth that it's available to us. How many of you know heaven doesn't have a shortage of anything that you need or I need here on this earth? There's not a shortage of anything that we're going to need. But he said, for this very reason, giving all diligence. Everybody say all diligence. What kind of a picture does that paint to you? All diligence. It says giving all diligence. So how many of you know that's not a half-hearted effort? And in fact, that really convicts me, because here in a few months, you know, we're not very far from the first of the year. What's going to happen at the first of the year to the Y, to Gold's Gym and stuff like that? What's going to happen after the first of the year? Buyer's remorse for the whole year, right? We ate too much, didn't stay in shape, da-da-da, and then what's going to happen? YFCA, I think it's YMCA now. YMCA's, their membership's going to skyrocket. Gold's Gym's membership's going to skyrocket because of buyer's remorse, right? We've looked at our lives at the end of the year. We just got done eating all that incredible holiday food. We looked at the end of our lives and felt like a beached whale at the end and thought, you know, here we go. All right, I need to get this in order. I need to start getting myself in shape. Now, let me ask you a question. Do they hold those memberships the entire year? No, it goes like what? It goes, the diligence goes. And unfortunately, all of us, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but all of us have felt guilty about where we are in God. Sometimes we'll hear a message on prayer. I'll never forget once I heard Dr. Cho, pastor of the largest church in the world, heard Dr. Cho preach about something, and then he talked about his own personal life, how he prays 6 hours a day. And then made the comment, if you pray less than 2 hours a day, you're worthless. In essence, he said, if you don't pray more than 2 hours a day, you're not going to go anywhere in God. I'm sitting there going, well, that's it for me. But we all left that meeting and we all felt convicted and we all felt guilty and we all thought, man, I do need to up my prayer life. And so you start off and you get up early, which I'm not an early morning guy. Dorette is, but I'm not. You get up, you do whatever. And what happens? Same thing as gym membership. Isn't that right? But listen, here's something that I think is important for us to get. What Peter is saying, he says, for this reason, giving all diligence. In other words, it needs to be a mindset that says, I'm going to look at this thing called life in a long-term perspective. Peter is not saying you need to be perfect next week. Peter is not saying you need to get it all figured out by tomorrow afternoon. Peter's not saying you have to give it figured out in a year. But what Peter is saying is it needs to be on your radar all the time. That this thing that he's going to talk about needs to be on our radar as Christians. And we need to be checking it every day. And it needs to be a top level priority in our life. In other words, how many of you slow and consistent most of the time will beat quick spurts, right? That we just go, you know what? I'm going at this. I am not going to stop. It's kind of like the running back. We're in football season. It's like the running back that gets hit first and then just gives up. Okay. We'll have a certain level of success, but it's those running backs that you look at, you know, years after they've retired and go, man, that dude, when he got hit after his first hit, he went ahead and averaged another 5.5 yards after his first. In other words, he just wasn't going to stop until he was horizontal on the ground. Just going to keep going. We admire that in athletes that we look at. But as believers, it's easy to think a few things. For this very reason, with all diligence, add to your faith. Now, for a lot of people, that doesn't make sense. Because it's easy for a Christian to think, I've come to Christ. I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I've asked Him to be my Lord and Savior. And we've done that. And then we do a collective sigh of relief. I'm okay now. And we stop our going forward in God. Oh, there's a part of us for a while. It's kind of a honeymoon thing. Right? In fact, all of us in here probably, if you came to Christ as an adult, it's very likely that when you first surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, when the church doors were open of whatever church it was you were part of, that you gave your life to Christ, when the church doors were open, you flew in, and I tell you what, you just couldn't wait to go to Bible study. You maybe bought you a resource book. You know, years ago, you may have brought you a Strong's Concordance that you studied, and I mean whatever, and then, give yourself a few months or a few years, and we find out that, and then we'll begin to, well, God understands that, you know, I can't make it to, I'm just saying, every one of us in here has battled those things. Am I right? That we have the idea that once we've come to the faith, we're there. We're good to go. But let's read this, because this is powerful. Giving all diligence, in other words, with everything you got, add to your faith. Many Christians don't think faith needs added to. Many Christians think faith is all there is, or that faith is enough. Peter says, add to your faith virtue. And this is a progression. These eight things are a progression of Christian growth. And as we go throughout this study, we'll point out why. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Why do you think it would stop at love? First of all, love's one of the greatest things. And love is what causes faith to work. Okay? Now look at this. Now, these next three verses are pretty powerful verses. It says, for if these things are yours. Now notice the word if is there. It's in the original language. It's not a translator edition. If these things are yours. Now, if you've been paying attention to what we've read, you could look at that and say, but wait a minute, you said these were ours already. You said God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You can argue every one of those eight things do pertain to life and godliness. And now it says, if these things are yours. So you could ask Peter from just an argument perspective, well, are they ours or not, Peter? Because you said they were. But that just gives you a clue. We're not just talking about data. We're talking about, are these things yours by knowledge? And then are we walking in the knowledge of what we know? If these things are yours, look what it says then. And abound. How many of you know that just tells me that means this, to put it in a gardener's phrase. That means, are they still growing in you? Has to be life. It has to be life-producing, life-giving. If these things are yours and abound, look what it says. The consequence will be, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that. So if these things are yours and abound, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it important to have knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? The original kind of knowledge, in the original language, the kind of knowledge that's more than just information, it's information that's backed by experience. If these things are yours, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Because of the first part of where we read. It's through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ that all things that pertain to life and godliness are ours. And that we're able to be a partaker of the divine nature of God. Wow, that's incredible. Now it gets even better. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Verse 9, unfortunately, is the picture of many Christians. It really is. We want to, and the cool thing is that can be changed. But there's many people that start out their journey in God only to be derailed by whatever it may be. Most of the time, it's negative life circumstances that derail us. And it says there, short-sighted even to blindness. Paul would say it another way. You look into a mirror, and then very quickly, you forget the image that you saw. How many of you experience that now over 50? It's like, did I comb my hair? Did I shave? Right? And then they end up living life. Here's what we talked about last week. The greatest indictment that ever could be said about Christian people is for someone that's not a Christian to look at Christians and say, you're no different than we are. And I'm not talking about from a human level. I'm talking about from a living level. You don't live any different than we do. How can you be a Christian and live the same as somebody that's not a Christian? By verse 9. By lacking in those things. That we can end up living as if we were never cleansed from our sins. Okay? Now verse 10 is powerful. Therefore, brethren, in light of the truth, in the light of the truth of what he just talked about, these eight things, in light of the truth of if through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, all things that pertain to life and godliness, partaking of the divine nature of God are ours. And verse 9, lacking those things, he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Well, he already talked about giving all diligence. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Now look at this last phrase. For if you do these things. What things? Add to your faith, virtue, to virtue, this, okay. If you do these things, it's a powerful promise. You will never. Now, all-inclusive words rarely should be used by us humans, right? We should never tell our spouse, you never, or you always, right? Those all-inclusive types of words usually are never true on a human level. But look what Peter says. He says, if you do these things, you'll never stumble. Now, think about that. Again, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. All of us in here have had things happen in life that shook us to our core, right? That caused us to pause, or that flat out we just tripped and hit the ground. I mean, it just knocked us for a loop. And maybe we could still even come to church, look good, say amen at the right time, sing the right song, lift our hand, look like whatever. But inside, questioning our faith, inside, our confidence has taken a huge hit. I think everybody in this room has had that happen at some point or other in life. And unfortunately, being in the ministry as at least long as I have, and if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've had this happen, where you've seen a brother or sister in Christ come to Christ, and for some reason had the idea, not on purpose. It's nothing thing that's an articulated purpose, but come to a place and, surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, and we were on fire for God for a little while, and then life begins to take place, and we go back into some of the old patterns that we had. How many of you know if you were a procrastinator pre-Christ, you're probably a procrastinator after Christ, right? How many of you know if you had bad thoughts before you became a Christian, you probably need to grab a hold of your thoughts even after you're a Christian, right? Because the thing is we're redeemed spiritually. We have to work out the other stuff. Are you with me? Oh, there's some bondages, thank God, that get broken in our life. But the thing is we give our heart to Christ, and man, we're on fire for God. And I mean, we're praying, we're reading the Bible, we're fellowshipping, we're doing whatever. And then life begins to do its stuff, and different things come in, distractions come, this, that, or the other. And then all of a sudden things happen in life that are negative. Usually it's a negative thing that happens in life. Man, a death in the family, a sickness, an illness, somebody within the body of Christ offends you, whatever it may be, only to find them stumble in their relationship with God. And for some, it's a momentary stumble and they get back on track. But for a far too large of a number, that stumbling, sometimes they never recover fully. They never ever come back to the place in life that the Lord is the center of their life, and their life revolves around the things of God. And man, they are growing in the things. They're abounding, as Peter said, in these things. Too much of the time that doesn't happen. And for some, they stumble and leave the faith, never to return. It's heartbreaking. And in this room, there's people that are all at different levels of development. But here's the kicker. I just want to encourage you this way. The thing to keep us growing, the thing to get us growing, or the thing to get us back on track is the admonition that Peter said, giving all diligence. In other words, just making your mind up and say, you know what? I'm just going to get some things in order and just get with the program. Amen? Okay, so today we're going to talk just very briefly. This is going to be a Reader's Digest version of the Reader's Digest version. Says, add to your faith. The entrance into Christ, when we come to Christ and surrender our life to Him, for many, that's the destination. But the reality is that's the beginning. Isn't that right? That's where we just start. And say, okay, now, wow, I have fellowship with God. I can commune with God. That's the beginning of our journey in God. Amen? And it says, add to your faith. So what is faith? Now, we could very quickly quote Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I was to ask you in this room, how many of you are Christians, X amount would raise your hand. And if I could ask you and say, could I talk you out of your salvation? Hopefully, the same amount would keep their hands up. So how many of you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. Could I talk you out of your salvation? Why? I could present a pretty good case in the natural. I mean, none of you have seen Jesus, probably. None of you were around when he was. You're just reading printed ink on a page. There's a lot of printed ink on pages about other religious figures, right? So what is faith? My question is, what is faith? Well, what you're going to answer, you may not be able to articulate it this way, but once maybe I articulate it, you might go, okay, I can agree with that. I couldn't talk you out of your faith because you've had substance. You've had evidence of a change, of peace, of help, of, yeah, joy, whatever, of healing, of that you would just say, well, you know what? You're right. I've never seen him. So from a natural five physical senses level, yeah, you're right. I've never seen him. And yeah, it is just a book. Okay. But I think it's words of life, but you know, that's debatable. And all right, you're right. You're right. I wasn't around. I don't know. People just, maybe it's just a cockamamie story, but what you're going to end up saying is, but I've experienced. So this is now knowledge that has experience, but I've experienced a change in my life. I've experienced the peace of God that passes all understanding. I've prayed. My prayers have been answered. I mean, wow, you would just go, so, you know, hopefully your pastor wouldn't be trying to talk you out of your salvation. So you would just say, so Lynn, save it, dude, because, and here's what you would say, I have evidence of a changed life. Faith is the substance, is the stuff of things hoped for, the evidence of even things that aren't seen. How does faith come? As I asked this first question, I asked this first service, and it was interesting, the responses. They weren't nearly so united. So I'm going to delve into this in depth on Wednesday nights. So here's the thing. Faith comes by the word. Now, several people said this, that faith's a gift. And I would say, ooh, it is. But here's the problem with the scripture that says God's dealt to every man a measure of faith. Here's the problem with that scripture is the street level interpretation of that causes many Christians to go, I don't know what it is with Pastor Josh. God showed up to his door with a semi-load full of faith and God used a baby spoon in my life. Right? I don't know why God gave him more faith than me. I don't know why God gave her more faith than me. He obviously didn't give me any. When God asked for, you know, handing out faith, I don't know where I was, but I didn't get any. And so on a practical level, I'm going to say a majority of Christians, that's a hang up for them. They just go, I just didn't get any, or I didn't get enough, or I don't understand while I'm struggling. When I look at brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I look at this, that, or the other, man, they're just doing great. What's up with me? The essence, and we're going to go into depth, the essence of that scripture that says God's dealt to every man a measure of faith. You know what? Do you know the implications of what that mean is that God has made it available. He's created human beings with the capacity to believe. Every human being has the capacity to believe. So we really do start out exactly on the same playing field. But from there, it's individual. What do we believe? What information do we put our way? What do we believe? And how diligent are we at it? Because Jesus said, some have great faith, some have small faith, some have no faith. How many of you know God's not a respecter of persons? He's not going to look at some and say, well, sorry. You know, there's just something about you that ticks me off. I just ain't going to give you any. He's not going to look at some and say, oh, wow, I really like you. I'm going to give you tons. However much you want, you just go for it. He's not going to look at something, well, I could kind of take you or leave you. No big deal. Yeah, sure, here's some. God's not like that. He's created within every man, woman, boy, or girl, the capacity to believe. Now, he just then, if I could say it this way, kind of like a dad does with a kid, just kind of pats us on the shoulder, or pats us on the hind end and says, now, you believe whatever, you can go whatever. All things are possible to him who, some people don't believe that. Kind of interesting, huh? Okay. So some have taken it and just went, okay. and just run. And we look at some of those people and go, wow, I admire their faith. Listen, it's not because God gave them more. It's because they did with more. They did more with what God gave them, the capacity to believe. Okay, so we're going to go into that a little bit more in depth. We're going to talk about what does faith look like. We're going to talk about how we can grow in faith. But let me just leave with this. It's very quick for us in our circles to say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And the instant we say the word, our brain thinks book. Am I right? It's not wrong, but it's not fully right. Because here's what we miss. And I'm going to say this. It's a pretty bold statement. If this is the sum total of what you think of when it says faith comes by the word, if the sum total for you is a book, there will come a time in your life that this will not be enough. Because you can't have a relationship with a book. But the second person of the Trinity is the Word of God. So if you negate the person of the Word, you'll come to a place that you could memorize this thing and still find yourself stumbling all over the place. We've got to see this as more than print on a page. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, now, I used Pastor Josh and Jackie in first service. Have you heard about it already? When sweet Jackie, bless her heart, met sweet Josh, bless his heart, got to be equal, football probably wasn't on her radar. Am I right? Yeah. Fantasy football probably wasn't on her radar. Now she's an owner of a team. Give me a break. I'm convinced, though, she's just an owner by name. I really think Josh just wants to beat somebody else. But anyhow. Okay. No. See, now look at her. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Jackie would be more into a Jerry Nelson concert, listening to great music, hearing a great orchestra, you know. Of course, Jackie's just kind of a fun gal, so she would be into fun. But football, she wouldn't. Jackie, 4 years ago, wouldn't think, oh, wow, I want to have fun. Oh, I want to be a BSU fan and paint my face orange. But she developed a relationship with a guy that, quite frankly, is just kind of wacko on football. But that's just my opinion. That can talk pro football, he can talk, yeah, this guy was traded for this, and he got this, and he did this, and he likes this, and he eats whatever, and da-da-da-da-da. He can talk college football, talk about the coaches, how long they've been there, and da-da-da-da-da. I mean, he can just do it all day. But because she developed, and when Josh goes to a BSU game, it's not a stretch for your imagination to see him with orange, half blue, half something. I mean, hair painted, whatever it may be. And get him with some of his friends and it can get just, you need to pray. There's a point here. How do you grow in faith? They developed a relationship. All of a sudden now, it's a guy and a girl, that they look at each other in a whole different light. And you know what now? Jackie can paint her safe orange. And Josh can be sitting there painted blue and they just have a blast. And she likes it. Or at least she says she does. She's progressed in their relationship to where she's the owner now of her own fantasy football team. And she can talk smack just as bad as he can. And you know what? She can even speak pretty intelligently about football. The Jackie of 5 years ago couldn't. She would go the Oakland who? Now she wears a Raiders jersey. Not all change is good, but anyhow. Here's the thing. Listen, how do I grow in faith? If you just think this is how you're going to grow in faith, if I can just get this memorized, I'm going to tell you. If you do that, you'll become a Robotron and you'll come to the spot that this will not be enough. How do I grow in faith? It's exactly what's happened with this couple right here. It's called T-I-M-E and giving your heart to something. When you give your heart to the person of the Word and you spend time in what the person of the Word left for us, takes a whole different ballgame. You'll begin to love what he loves. Show me a Christian that says, well, I don't like to go to church. Okay, I understand that. The world I grew up in, kind of the Western world, I don't know how many times I've heard them. Well, I don't want to go to church and get stuffed in there with all those people that wear three-piece suits. Okay, I understand that. But let me tell you where they are. They haven't spent enough time with the Word to grow in faith to the place that they begin to love what he loves. Once you come to the place that you grow to love what he loves with respect to the church, the walls cease to exist and what people wear ceases to exist. Because you're just in love with the Word and you begin to love what he loves. Well, I don't like people. Okay, cool. It's okay. But if you want to give your all diligence to grow, let me tell you the fix for it. You spend time getting to know the Word. Because how many of you know you spend time with the Word? How many of you know he loves people? The fix is the Word. But if you just look at it, well, the Word says I need to go to church. Or the Word says I need to love people. If you try to do it outside of the relationship with the person of the Word, it'll just become a set of do's and don'ts for you. But if you fall in love with the Word, he will transform your heart and his desires will become your desires. So that then you'll look at people in a completely different way. You'll begin to love people. Amen? So, we're just going to... I just got to stop there. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll talk further, obviously, about this.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.